This is a paid message from the Imperial Holonet News Service. Hello, entire galaxy. I am Alex Fasciani, one of the hosts of the Star Wars Old Canon Book Club podcast on Earth. I just wanted to apologize for briefly hiring notorious con man and thief Large Bumbo into our organization. In my defense, he was posing as an accredited intergalactic lawyer at the time, and all decisions were made in good faith. But I didn't speak Bumbies myself, and I should have done a better background check as part of the hiring process, and that's on me. As an apology, part 2 of the Star Wars New Canon Book Club archives have now been released, even for free, non-paying members, at patreon.com/SWOCBC. Again, that's patreon.com/SWOCBC. Please stop mailing me thermal detonators. Just go listen to episodes of our old show about the Disney Star Wars universe at patreon.com/SWOCBC. Thank you for your time. May the Force be with you, or bright suns, or whatever is most appropriate to say on this big of a stage. Thank you. Please enjoy the show.
The Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/SWOCBC for ad-free episodes, reading guides, movie and TV episode audio watch-alongs, and more. Today's Old Canon Fact of the Day comes from A Guide to the Star Wars Universe by Raymond L. Damasco, first published in December 1984. C-3PO is bipedal and is equipped with visual, auditory, olfactory, and sensory receptors, which include broadband antenna to receive transmissions from other droids, and a vocabulator for speech. But his creativity is minimal to assure he will not embellish translations. R2-D2 was once the property of a Captain Colton, who was in service of the Rebel Alliance, and through a series of events became the property, protector, and companion of Luke Skywalker. Today's selection is Droids, The Adventures of R2-D2 and C-3PO, an animated television series by Peter Sodder and Ben Burtt, whose final episode was first broadcast on June 7th, 1986. Enjoy the show, and may the Force be with you, always.
He's no good to me, Dad.
Both got Dad.
Super Dad. Hey!
Hi there.
The Rancor Sun character, it truly, like, I think about, I just, like, am at home,
he
like,
says
washing
both,
dishes.
He says Chuba Dad to me, the first
both
thing he says.
Dad. And I just laugh. I say it, I laugh. Do you ever just, like, have something where you're just, like, it's just your little slice of happiness?
Little vocal stem that you've,
like,
you've taken
the
on?
World right now is, like, everybody, we're locked in. Everyone's, like, great. Everything's, like, working globally as good as it can. So we don't need little bits of happiness like this. Yeah. But it doesn't hurt to have.
Just picturing it. Bobby Hill dressed in the Rancor.
Is that who that is?
I mean, in my mind, it's like a Bobby Hill-esque character for sure.
Guys at home,
I would like
me
to say he's
never
my own.
Having seen King of the Hill is so good because my two close friends have great impressions that are apparently not original, but they're original. Like you're whatever Warren the like.
That's
get
right.
Back, demons. And
no, get out of here, demon.
Like they're like the funniest things, and they're just uniquely these characters. There's no other pop cultural
Dale Gribble.
Thing that I think about.
I've got the death sentence on 12 systems.
Dang, bong, dang, bong.
What's his fucking pizza? What's his fucking pizza name?
That's Chewbacca, I guess.
Yeah.
Dang, bong, dang, bong, man.
I don't know if you're talking about a Star Wars character right now or a King of the Hill character.
That's because those boys in King of the Hill, they're in trouble again.
That's droids. Well, then you said droids.
Trouble again.
Dude.
Okay. Let's talk about Star Wars droids. I feel like the general consensus was that it was quite a pleasant experience, yeah? The first half.
Yeah.
It started to fall off there by the second half.
By the way, the longer story
was a little bit less well-paced, yeah.
But we're only halfway through it.
This is only the first half of the first season, and there is an audio and video? I don't know.
Yeah, so, watch-along. The watch-along is for the patrons, and you can go watch that right now if you haven't seen us watch it. But I also would just want to encourage you to get a free trial of Disney Plus, or actually most of them are on YouTube if you look. Star Wars Droids. We watched the first, let me think. We
the
watched
first arc about Boonta.
Yeah, we watched, I'm gonna tell you exactly. I think we watched six
episodes of nonsense.
Dude, I think we watched
six
episodes.
Oh my god, we ended with
the greatest reveal in the history of reveals.
We're deep in like, I feel like, what is it, Gandalf when he's like in the library?
Yes.
Then it's like, he sees the Balrog, whatever he sees there, and then like we see,
he recognizes
this ring.
The Boonta race. Okay, this first of all, just
let me give my hypothesis, which is like, and this is not just to get people to join the Patreon, but I was thinking about it like, watching it with the watch along might be the best way to do it because like I really enjoyed watching it, but I had you guys with me. I don't know that I would have had quite as much fun doing it alone.
The sort of magic trick that we have discovered on this show that occurs sometimes, right? Happened heavy.
The card's actually behind their hand.
Well, just happy, just heavy.
When they do that trick.
This one was heavy. Like, yeah, I know. You know when we read the first book and we were like, oh my God, like what the fuck are all these other weird things that like came back around or whatever? Like,
same thing here.
This one, the Boonta race is a thing. We've got Kybo Ren.
Kybo Ren is the next episode.
The funniest part is
we technically saw him.
We saw him for a second, and he looks like a racist Mongolian.
Like, yeah. He has like a whole other vibe of like villains, and
he looks like he's going to both look and sound like the Nemoidians just sound.
What's crazy about it is that if that is a direct name pool. Where they were like,
it has to be.
Right? Like, if that was a direct name pool, what was the behind the scenes of them discovering that character name and thinking that's who Ben Solo should be?
It was probably just somebody.
Like, that's crazy.
It was probably, who wrote it? J.J. Abrams?
Sure.
Like, whoever it was. Let's just say he was probably just, like, on Wikipedia looking at
J.J. is that guy who is like, it's the other thing.
I don't believe J.J. Abrams, like, chose that name. I believe he could see Kybo Ren and be like, I don't like Kylo. Like, that's the amount of input on name for that. I think Kylo is better than Kybo. There's got to be some other, like, a Filoni type, or what is his name that is, like, the keeper of the lore? Paul Hidalgo?
Pablo Hidalgo.
Somebody like that pulling those things. But J.J. Abrams is not the guy that goes that deep on stuff.
He loves callbacks. He's the master of surface.
He probably is like, great.
When he wrote Spider-Man,
he
did the same exact thing with Spider-Man than he did with Star Wars, where he was like, let's move it forward. Spider-Man has a son. Like, let's.
You know what, Davis? I think you're absolutely right in that there's probably a double layer to it where the call, he's like, oh yeah, no. They'll love the callback to Kybo Ren.
Nobody.
But like, Kybo?
Kybo roll sounds off like the a tongue. Hick. Like, they're doing Kylo. That sounds sexy.
I believe J.J. Abrams would 100%
looks more
say
like
that.
Kill. I like that. Yeah. Okay. So here's the.
Sounds more spacey.
So here's the quote.
Kybo, get in here. Is that a King of the Hill voice?
Kybo. Okay.
It sounds like an exercise system.
Like the Kybo Ren flex.
So real quick,
it's going to give you those big chest, big man chest.
You're going to have like a huge chest and a ridiculously small like lower part of your body.
You're going to have like a little helmet with like one spike on the top and then black leather overalls and a Fu Manchu mustache.
If you order right now in the next 30 minutes, it comes with a chimpanzee who will repair your helmet.
Yeah, and he learned already how to solder. He's got his own little bits of metal. All right, okay. Have you guys seen that Japanese pot? Never mind. Never mind. Okay. So this show actually started airing before the holiday special or the last Ewoks movie, but it ended afterwards. So that's why it's next.
Ooh. Okay. Hold on. I know we're going to talk about the show. I know we want to talk about the show, but can we first talk about the fact that we watched the Tony Danza?
Yeah. Another reason to do the watch along.
Another reason to check the watch along is that this show premiered during a health test, during
the fit check, fit test. What was it called?
ABC Fit.
Yeah, it was like a fitness initiative for children on ABC in the 80s.
That Mary Lou Retton was like the host of the normal show.
But then Tony Danza did the show that we saw.
Oh man, come on!
And it was like upfronts for like children's programming.
3PO, what are we going to do?
Yeah, they come in and they're like, hello, Mr. Danza.
And hey, 3PO. And
that's right, I do love boxing.
It was crazy because you were like, we're going to put this on and we'll watch it until we're like done with it.
We watched the whole thing.
It was great.
Like, Tony Danza was like completely on board. He was like, at no point was he like, this is weird. He was just like,
no phone in at all. He was there.
He like understood R2 and he's like, he sounds like my buddy Tony.
Good joke.
Yeah.
We've got a quote from George Lucas.
It was another shameless ad for their own content because it was like a trivia show where they just showed clips of their upcoming shows.
It was very much that era that the same reason that kid shows always had like, hey, remember, it's not cool. It's like Dr. Robotnik to smoke weed. And if every time you want to smoke weed, have a chili dog instead. Like all that type of stuff.
Knowledge is power.
Winners don't do
half
drugs.
The battle from G.I. Joe and stuff.
All the arcade games that used to say don't do drugs at the beginning.
Well, it's like, I grew up in the era where there was like a lot of, I guess, like moral or other health information. It was just generally like better, broader, more middle than what certain people want to put as moral content.
Right.
You know what's actually really funny about all that?
Remember, kids, evolution is just a theory.
But it's funny that
Primal Rage.
They talk about in the news a lot today, they're like, millennials and Gen Z, they aren't drinking, they aren't doing lots of crazy drugs. And
you
I was like,
afford that.
Yeah, ignoring the fact that it's too expensive, you literally spent all of our youth telling us not to.
Yeah.
So the fact that people are like, I spend my money on other things. That's you. You did this, not us. We didn't do this.
It is so crazy how like simple it is to like fool kids. Like we're like built to rebel against the older generation. So all you have to do, like if a kid is saying some meme you hate, start doing it.
Yeah.
And then they will like hate it. So I guess, like, they're like, don't do drugs. You're like, fuck you. I'm going to do drugs.
Yeah, I definitely remember being like, okay, hey, so dare lady. So weed's like not as bad as the other drugs, right? Like it's like a lot safer and like less habit forming than the other drugs. And she was like, technically, yes, but it's.
Thanks, Daryl.
Well, the big thing I heard about, I feel like I remember about it was like gateway. Like that was their thing. Right. It was like, okay, but if you smoke weed, you're going to do heroin.
That's just not, that's like never been true ever.
It's happened. If you give a mouse a cookie, but it's like if you give a mouse a joint, he will probably die
most,
on the street.
Probably most people who've taken heroin have smoked weed, but I don't think that it's because they smoked weed. Anyway, in the 80s.
I feel like if you're taking heroin, you're just going to be like, weed? Yeah, man, sure.
Yeah, why not?
I've already done heroin. So
heroin's the gate crashing drug. All right, anyway, if you take that, you're going to drink a beer in 2 seconds. I'm just kidding. Paul Dini was on the show. Let me read the names of the people involved in the show. Richard Beben, Ben Burtt. This is the writing staff. Richard Beben, Ben Burtt, Paul Dini, who is the guy who did the Batman animated series with Bruce Timm.
Yep.
Charmin Devono, Joe Johnston, who was the...
Charmin Devono is a Star Wars name.
Charmin Devono did...
runs a casino.
Exactly. You're like, look... He's very charismatic. It's like Hondo-y kind of like charismatic, but seedy.
That person just did one. Joe Johnston, unbelievable. Jordan Kent, what? Michael Reeves, Peter Sauter.
Was he like special? Did he work on the show proper?
For the show, yeah.
Joe Johnston, dude, back in the day, just
doing it.
Everyone doing it.
So I'm going to read a quote first from George Lucas.
Early YouTube, like being in the game station like those days, is like a much dumber version of this where like,
yes,
but everybody was like doing cool stuff.
Spoilers. It's the entire entertainment industry. All right.
I don't know if any more that's the case.
Just people doing whatever.
In a danger zone.
Making up what we're doing and pretending like we know what we're doing. That's all the entertainment industry is.
That, yeah.
Every single person
that's
is
all any any industry is like a bunch of like fakies.
Yeah. But then there's enough that we like invented our own
God,
structure.
I hope the banking industry isn't.
No, that's based on hard facts.
I wouldn't call it the banking industry. All right, hold on.
I would.
George Lucas is
the,
like...
Oh, the banking clan? What are they in Star Wars?
Yeah, that's the banking clan. George Lucas said, I've always been interested in animation. And again, it's a chance to experiment with ideas and new people in Star Wars characters. The Star Wars world is much easier to deal with in animation. You can be much more flexible in development of ideas. I've put off doing it for years
and
because I didn't
flexible.
Have the time. He just said he didn't have the time is why he wanted to do it. And so...
That's like fair. Yeah. That guy was busy.
Yeah. He was just doing background work in all these movies. Anyway, so then they did...
George, are you... Key grip?
George, so the point
here.
Is, almost from the beginning of his idea of Star Wars, he was thinking about animation. And basically...
Oh, yeah, because during this time period, when this comes out, Indiana Jones is a thing.
Yes. And they did...
And Tucker.
Yeah, all the shitty...
And all
Disneyland,
the
Star Tours.
Yeah. He's
about,
busy.
We're about where...
Wait, what year is this?
85. So we're about... We're
the
about
last Indiana Jones
halfway,
was 89?
Yeah, we're catching up to the...
when is the... At 87, is that when the thing started? Because it was the 10-year...
The Insider?
Yeah.
It was the 10-year anniversary of Star Wars, yeah. So we're catching up to it.
We are closing that gap.
Yeah, I mean, I think eventually it's going to go the other way again.
Oh, because we get like 10 things a month?
Yeah, because eventually a comic book is going to have 6 issues instead of like 40.
I'm so excited for a good quickie.
Yeah,
oh,
like even the books, like the
you
books
like
are going to be so
much
more.
Quickie.
The books are going to be a little bit more dense, but they're so written, so pulpy that it's just, I feel like once we get to the 90s, we're just going to churn through stuff.
Trouble looking.
I'm so compromised. The moment we start reading the comics that those images are from, like, I'm just like, my ability to be any amount of objective when it comes to just Luke doing cool shit is like,
you're gonna be like, hi, I'm the CEO of Luke.
wait till you see
this is the best thing I've ever
young
seen.
Young Emperor Palpatine.
This is the greatest Sting.
He looks like, he looks like
the images.
That's Executor Sedgwick
or whatever. Like,
yeah, that's Executor Sedgwick.
There's like just sick.
Palpatine looks like Dracula,
dude. Yeah, he does.
It's cool.
Dude, you have no idea. Anyway, wait till you get to this new Jedi Order and what type of shit Luke does in there.
Till you get when it's actual Eldritch horror.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, Star Wars Holiday Special happened in 78. So this was 7 years before this at this point, right? So we have David Acomba who showed Lucas a clip by Nelvana. Nelvana is the company that actually ended up making... Yeah, they actually ended up making the droid show, but they originally made that Boba Fett segment from the Star
Wars.
That's
why when Boba Fett shows up in the show,
he looks like that.
He looks like that.
So Nelvana made it, or they like consulted? What was
their
connection?
They produced the segment for the special.
Yeah,
and then he liked it so much that in 84, when he was making droids and Ewoks at the same time, because they aired at the same time, by the way, so like. When you watch the Tony Danza special, you'll see they promote both Ewoks and droids because
it's
like,
literally like when
the Power Hour.
Super Mario Super Show, and it would have Mario and then Zelda.
Yeah, or Batman and Superman Adventures.
Right,
whatever.
Or they'd have Ness or whatever. Yeah.
And so they picked droids and Ewoks at the same time, and then here's a quote from Paul Dini about it, who is not only just the guy who ran that Batman show like that, he also basically is the guy who invented the Mr. Freeze that we know about, where he's sad about his wife like that. He invented Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
He invented...
All of modern Batman is basically from that.
That Clayface, that amazing Feet of Clay episode. All those revitalized Batman
Mad Hatter.
Moments are from that.
Yeah, all that shit.
That show ripped when it came out, and it only ages better because like no shows do it like that.
I implore you, if you like that show, to get Paul Dini's detective run on Detective Comics. It's just literally like a bunch of one-offs of and two shots of Paul Dini doing like basically animated series episodes in the real show.
That's cool.
There's one where Robin wakes up in the back
of
a
Phantasm
car.
In every format that it's
what a great
release
movie.
In.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like tied for the best Batman movie ever made.
It's
great.
So it's good because he gets to go a little harder than he does on the kid show because there's like killing and shit. There's one where Robin wakes up in the back of the Joker's car And he like doesn't. He's like Joker's like joyriding with Robin in the car.
Is that the second or third one?
What?
You talking about the movie?
No, what? I'm talking about. I'm just talking about
comic
issues of Paul Dini's little run on Detective Comics that he did. There, it was like in between two big runs, and it's just so good. Anyway, he said George Lucas thought that the best characters to use would be the ones who weren't so heavily tied into the movie's plots, such as R2-D2 and C-3PO. They're the running characters.
Disney was like,
I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that.
Nope.
Well, one more time. George Lucas thought that the best characters to use would be the ones who weren't so heavily tied to the movie's plots, such as R2-D2 and C-3PO. They're the running characters in the Star Wars universe. The droids would be a natural for animation because they could go all over the universe and get involved with all sorts of creatures and worlds that didn't necessarily have Luke Skywalker, the Empire, or any of those elements. The only constant would be R2 and 3PO, which... You know, maybe this wasn't my favorite Star Wars show I've ever seen, but was palpable.
Logically, what he's saying makes sense. And if it was just...
Palpable or palatable?
Palpable. Like, you could feel that the show is purposefully going away from Luke and Leia and the Empire.
It's showing you the rest of the universe.
It is. It's funny because I, like...
Or galaxy.
If you think about the format of the show and those two characters... The original trilogy could be an arc on this show because they just get lost in some small crazy plot somewhere and then go off to the next thing like it's not a big deal.
And it makes a ton of sense in this, in that when they have the arcs, when the one arc ends, it's literally like, we should definitely leave. Like, we're just holding these people back. And it makes sense that they would be like, all right, let's go on another adventure, rather than just like... And now they're doing another adventure, which I think is actually really smart. The biggest problem I have is that this idea of 3PO and R2 became kind of like the backbone of a lot of shit eventually. Yeah. To the point where it's like, they can't do everything.
Right.
But this, it works.
When there wasn't so much.
This is like better of their use than like the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, we were just talking about it before this, a perfect analog of where they should fit in the larger tapestry has a lot in common with this George R. R. Martin show.
Yeah.
United
Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah, Egg and whatever. Like
Dunkin' Egg.
Yeah, Dunkin' Egg. Like, that's R2-D2 and C-3PO. They're Rogues and Krantz and Guildenstern.
Westeros runs on Dunkin' Egg.
I'd have a Dunkin' Egg right now if I could. So the other thing that's interesting...
Yeah, everyone's in.
The other thing that's interesting about the droid show is that it and Ewoks were chosen because they're like kid topics and because they weren't sure if there was going to be movies at this time in the mid-80s. Like, he was not sure until...
Oh, we are like pretty...
We get in Star Wars Insider, we find out that he starts to really start talking about those movies again sometime in around 1991, 1992 era. It's when he really like...
There's like... Yeah.
He's making plans. Like,
they're like, you've said broadly in the past, and then they start printing it in the magazine,
And people are worried that there's not going to be more in the letters and stuff like that. But so that's where they were at. And so they thought, okay, well... We're going to do young stuff because we want to not affect the later movies if we make them, right? We don't want to like do anything that's going to like change Luke and Leia or whatever, or change the state of the galaxy. We just want to stick it with the droids and the Ewoks, because the Ewoks aren't even ever going to leave Endor, right? Like, they're just Ewoks, so that's fine. And the other thing that was interesting is that because they made that choice to be a kid show, Lucas being Lucas looks at the Saturday morning cartoon like scene and goes, this is not going to work for me. And actually, when he went to Anthony Daniels to like make the show and ask Anthony Daniels if he would do it, he was like, I didn't want to do it. I had to be convinced that it was going to be better. I'm no mug. I wouldn't support something just because Lucasfilm was doing it. George Lucas got into this and hired the company that he hired and put the money and attention to it with the goal specifically of raising the quality and perception of Saturday morning television in general. So that's why he went to Stuart Copeland from the Police to make the song, and why he got this like sort of beautiful, sort of interesting art style instead of like,
dude,
you know, if you look at the other 80s shows,
George Lucas
all kind of look
like
the same.
Actual patron of art forms is like my favorite version of him.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. And that's really, I think, in terms of where I'm at,
it was
in our
not,
journey, that's what I'm seeing him as right now. It's more of like a shepherd.
The things that he helps facilitate are better than the things that he has direct creative control over to me. But like the show, it's like, I mean, I like animation. So it's like a good show to watch. Like I love the designs visually. It's like very interesting. Also, we finally got past the Flash Gordon era and you're like, these are like legit ass Star Wars things.
But it also
and
then even, feels kind of like the comics.
It's very much a proto continuity type show.
The types of situations.
It really reminds me of like the types of things that Han Solo was getting up to in the comics before the movie comics. You know what I mean? Those weird with the rabbit and all that and Obi Kenobi or whatever.
I do think, Don Juan Quixote.
Yeah, Obi-Wan Quixote or whatever.
The difference being like that I think it's a little bit more grounded or consistent. There's still like some of the jokies that a cartoon, like people just trip over stuff and like noises for kids, but like the scope of things fit what they would do in Star Wars. If you take out the like silliness, running into like the son of a famous mobster who's like inept but trying to like, I don't know, these are all Star Wars. If you like the way that you describe episode 2 in bullet points makes for a rad story. These have like things that were, if you break it down, you're like, this is completely Star Wars.
It's very Star Wars. But he was specifically like, the animation's got to be better because all these shows like G.I. Joe and shit with like the buff dudes.
He-Man, yeah.
And everybody sounds like a fucking guy from New York from like, who's like 60 years old. Like, hey, I'm Super Mario. Hey, I'm also Luigi.
And
hey,
all the bad
I'm
guys were like,
Spider-Man.
Yes. Yeah, everyone sounded like either
Superman.
Starscream.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all shit.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to talk shit on those performers. It's just the style and the expectation was much more of
a
corporate.
Kind of the same.
It's much more of a corporate cash-in. So he was trying to like do something international and cultural with this show.
And the audio is like, when they do the bespoke stuff, it rips. The only thing that's weird where there's dissonance is they
sound effects from the movies.
They do like Scooby-Doo.
Oh, the like
madcap sounds.
Yeah.
On top of all of the other better, like when they're doing ship sounds, you're like, yo. So it, for me, when they're doing those like little action scenes, I'm like, whip. You're like,
and it's Ben Burtt. And it's Ben Burtt. It's like the real deal. It's like, it's creative. You know what I mean? It's like not just the Hanna-Barbera, like, you don't think twice about what sound you use. You make every single one.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Going back to what you guys were talking about before about like the run up to, oh, we're going to probably do these prequels, right? I just had to go look and figure out the time difference. So it was 18 years between the end of Return of the Jedi and episode 1, right? But in that time, he's producing all of this Star Wars content plus Indiana Jones plus other stuff. So Lucas is working hard. And I was like, really quick, I'm just going to look up Avatar 1 to Avatar 2. That was 13 years, and all that man did was work on Avatar.
Did he not do any of his documentaries?
I thought that was all before Avatar.
Yeah.
Avatar came out in 2009.
Oh, I'm not saying that like I think. I'm just like, he did a bunch of
He only did like two movies.
Titanic, didn't he do a bunch of documentaries and stuff?
Yeah, like, yeah, but I'm saying like the way he did that, and it's like, people waited 13 years for Avatar, and that made him a ton of money. And Luke, it's funny that people, you can see in when we read the issues, they're like, you said that it would be out in 1997.
Yeah.
And I do not see any news on Star Wars. And it's crazy. Like,
That's years in the future.
The man created so much Star Wars content.
And they're already, like, being his boss.
Yeah.
They're being fucking the dude from Office Space.
Yeah. Meanwhile, no one was like, where's Avatar 2? You had promised us Avatar 2. Like, this is not a thing.
Yeah. They never go after Zack Snyder either, do they?
There's several differences, but I also think, like, there is too much content now. Even in 2009 or whenever it came out, like, there's just, you had other shit to do. Like, the MCU was happening.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of other crap going on that you could watch in the same way.
The difference is that
also,
nobody, except
for the rad people like me, have the ability to watch Avatar in the way that it's supposed to be watched.
You mean 3D? Mm-hmm.
They were looking
3D in VR goggles?
It's supposed
that
to be.
That movie in 2D is like,
it's supposed to be
a good movie.
It's supposed to be like 48p in a movie theater, right?
What?
avatar, like the real way, like the one that you've got's really just a pale imitation of the really expensive process they do to do the movie theater version, right? What do you say?
I don't know what you're saying.
Are you licking your lips?
I don't like what you're doing
right
now.
He's thinking about Jake Sully right now. Jake Sully.
I'm just kind of talking about why I kind of fell off, because I found out that the home 3D isn't quite the same as the movie 3D, and it.
You didn't even come over and watch it.
I'm just pushing your buttons.
Also, the crazy thing that I've, like, at home, with a actually, like, smaller
resolution.
TV, the 3D looks, you know, it's like monitor and resolution, like, looks a little bit better, crisper when it's smaller. So there's benefits to both sizes.
Sure.
Come over.
Yeah, I will. The stories are...
I got Ghost Rider, too.
Oh, man, you are just building this up.
Dude.
Yeah.
In 3D?
Is that the one where he pees?
Does the skull come at you on the screen?
I haven't watched yet.
Is that the one where he pees?
Because
fire?
I don't watch movies alone.
You should.
And I'm so alone.
I actually think everybody should watch movies alone. Like, you don't watch...
I'm going to do a new Patreon,
you don't read books for in a group.
It's called, if you pay this, just come watch 3D movies with me. And actually, you don't pay anything. I pay you.
I'll join that tier.
I'm so alone.
I'll join that tier. The stories of this, of droids, were inspired by Mobius, Jean Giraud.
What?
Like dude. especially the Airtight Garage, if you've ever, like, read that. It's a comic. It's, like, one of his big comics, this one.
That's another, like, seminal thing.
You ever seen that one?
What do you mean? That's so crazy.
And it's funny because basically, okay, so that's one fact. So Mobius is the main inspiration for this, for the plots. The production team was trying to convince George Lucas to let them use other Star Wars characters and bring in original trilogy characters. And he was like, no. He was like, no.
I am so happy.
Yeah, that's great.
Which is so opposite of how it is now. And then he laid out his basic idea. Then he was hands off. And then he'd get rough cuts. Anthony Daniels would rewrite lines because he felt ownership over the 3PO character and would correct some of the, like, syntax. And apparently
there is nothing wrong. Like, 3PO is 3PO in this, so.
Yeah.
It's also crazy because there was a lot of standards and practices issues with the show because it was so high profile because it was Star Wars, right? So they were like, anything that they'd try to do, ABC would, like, come after them, according to Paul Dini. And then also,
there is, like, violence and stuff in it.
A little, but not that much. And then there's, and forgive me, it's Hanno Hung-up is the Korean studio that actually handled the animation. But it was interesting because the art, like the pre-production was so extensive on the show and they did such creative things and such a specific look and all this weird stuff. Korean animators were actually struggling to animate the show because a lot of those Korean studios were much more used to producing this sort of stuff that other TV shows were doing at the time, right? That was a little bit easier to sort of do.
I mean, even the intro, when it does the, like, almost 3D pan when it goes around them, the camera, I was like, I don't know many animations in the 80s that did that, and that's the intro.
Yeah, so
I was like, that's cool.
So one of the directors, who's Clive Smith.
I do think in, like, intros, don't they generally have a higher level of animation
but in the case of the show, I would say that it's pretty much par for the course across the board, and it's because Clive Smith, who was one of the directors of the show, actually moved to Korea for 8 months, which is not how this normally works. Normally, the reason you outsource something to Korea is because you want it to be cost-effective and cheaper and make your life convenient and not have to produce it in America. He actually went to Korea for 8 months to guarantee the quality of the show. Which is,
like, the Bunta race.
Unbelievable.
In that sort of spinning, like, that's real. It looks cool.
They did not, I mean, maybe they did if we, like, went back and looked at it, but, like, did not recycle stuff as much as, like, other things you, like, notice. Like, it
yes. does,
everything was, like, very bespoke, and they're not even, they don't even have, like, a set home. They're a new place
They get new owners every arc, basically. But they kind of keep their friends, kind of, is kind of how.
And this is before the first movie.
It's set between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope.
Also, there are so many ass shots of C-3PO.
He is
weirdly, he's like bent over,
he's like slightly sexualized.
And I don't know if it's
because Anthony Daniels was like, I want people to see his buttocks.
I just think it was accidental.
They're not restricted by, like, costumes, but that doesn't mean you have to.
It just, I've never been more aware of how much C-3PO looks like the robot from Metropolis. That's it.
Also,
is that what happens in that movie?
No, it's just a woman.
Metropolis.
It's
all about the ass.
It's about a dominating
same with Megalopolis.
Artificial intelligence that takes over reality by taking the form of a beautiful woman. Think about it. And all right, so
oh.
Yeah, hey,
no,
if you can grok it, maybe you can understand what I'm talking about.
I don't know. What are you saying?
All right, so each pair, because when they were budgeting this, it was like by hour of television, so droids and Ewoks together made an hour of television each time. Each hour cost about $500,000 in the 80s, which is...
That's huge.
Is that why there's only two seasons of each?
There's only one season of droids and then a special. So at the end, we'll watch a double length sort of like
the sadness TV movie. Of all of this, what I think I'm seeing, like the writing on the wall for how Lucas's early TV efforts were, is like to make high quality television, it costs. There's just no other way around it. You're like, it costs a lot of money. And so like they only got limited amounts of time. And even when he was talking about that Star Wars series in like the 2010s or whatever, he was like, just waiting on tech. He's like, we have scripts. We're waiting on tech that makes this feasible.
This was 100% during the time where in that late 80s period, TV production was like, there's a lot of phoning it in. There's a lot of bads. I mean, even movies, this is 80. It's hard to imagine that 1983 was Return of the Jedi, but 1988 was Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
I mean, that's the power of money.
Well,
right?
Isn't that also like
but I'm saying this specifically power of money.
A B movie?
Yeah, but like having...
That's what makes a movie like, a B movie is
having
the money.
No money, and so people weren't spending money on media, which is wild. But then in the 90s, that changed again. So like, who knows, man?
So you're right. Droids was canceled almost immediately after it aired because it was too expensive. Yeah. They decided to stick with Ewoks because Ewoks was kind of popping off a little harder. So they made another series of Ewoks, and then they made one more big special of the droids in 86.
I mean, that's what we learned with Indiana Jones, Young Indiana Jones, which is Indiana
one
Jones
of the most
was,
expensive things ever made.
Yeah, and it's on. You can see it in the show. It's right there. It looks expensive.
It's like a 100-hour long movie.
On Disney Plus?
It's not, but I think it might have something to do with co-production or something like that. I think that probably they would like it to be on there. I can't imagine.
I would like it to be somewhere.
Well, I'm just saying, I think you can buy it because there's... So the problem with the Indiana Jones show, as I looked into it a little bit more, is that it was like edited into several different things. There was like the real show, and then they made like a VHS and like later like cable version of the show or something that like kind of changed the order and the sort of they like edited a little bit differently.
Yikes.
And it's not any worse, really. It still retains
it's
a lot of...
It's just not the original.
It was just to handle, hit the different, like, run times?
Yeah. It had to do with the shape of the show and stuff like that. But this was a long time ago, right? So,
but it also shows that Lucas was like, spend money to make something that looks good.
He was trying to, yeah.
Companies were like, no.
But I think that that might have something to do with why you can buy, like, a certain weird version of them, but not... watch the show as it aired on Disney Plus, which you should be able to. We can definitely buy it and watch it if we want, is the long and short of it.
I want to watch like the 1991 version or whatever.
That's a challenge. That's a challenge. I'm sure it's out there, but that would be a toughie. But yeah, so it was canceled. They made the other set of droids. And then it's interesting because like... It aired again in the 90s. It aired again in 1994.
Same stuff.
Cartoon Quest, Animation Station, on all these other channels. And I think the general thought is that it was a show that people liked more for nostalgia than quality, but I kind of have to disagree.
I will say...
They liked
first,
it
the
more
first
for what?
Nostalgia than quality.
Yeah.
Like, the first arc is really well done. I feel like we've only started the second arc, but there does seem to be like a drop off in what the second arc is compared to the first.
I think the big one, I mean, I don't know exactly how it's going to go because we're going to have to watch the rest of this next
time.
Right. But I feel like the show works a little better with a small arc so far because it lets you remember stuff. And, you know, when you're writing a TV show format, where you know that there's going to be like a week or so between episodes, you sometimes have to spend a lot of time kind of like explaining again what happened, which is what happened with our
newspaper strips a lot of the time.
Where they were just like recapping all the time.
Yeah, and I
think they didn't do that with this show.
They didn't directly do it, but like I think a lot of the issues with the pacing in the like longer story that we're halfway through mm-hmm. just has to do with the fact that there's so many elements and they're trying to like explain it to us a lot of times through the action rather than just doing 90 minutes of a story.
It's also like this is another thing where it's like this is actually Star Wars for kids. This is not the movies that are like
it's a different reading level. Yeah.
So like if you were above a certain age, you probably just wouldn't like this. Like I can see why it really has a cutoff for an age that it's designed for. So like,
but they are doing interesting things like so we know Kylo Ren is going to be in the next episode because we saw it say Kylo Ren. But in the episode before that, the last one we watched, literally space pirates show up and attack them. They're not named, but it 100% is Kylo Ren. And so the idea that they just had a little scene and they escaped the space pirates and he's like, oh, they'll be back though. I think that's very clever. It's not explained. It's not something that's like, we're going to really hammer it home that's that guy. So you need to know that guy. I'm like, this has some adult level media literacy happening and I'm fine with this. Like, I like what this is, but you're right. It is 100% geared towards kids, despite me seeing a lot of things. I'm like, oh, that's nice choice. I like that.
Yeah, that's what, like, we're watching it as excavators of the Star Wars landscape. But that's why I'm like, watching it with friends and talking about it while it's going is better than just sitting there and being like, I'm going to treat this as seriously as I treat Andor.
Right.
Which you should, but you just have to understand that the piece is not made for you, which is, you know, something that a lot of
people. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I think you're doing it right. I just think a lot of people don't just make that distinction.
Batman the Animated Series is an all. It is not geared towards children in its like
right.
Not as directly. Yeah.
Not even like watch that show.
People don't get shot. You know, they do things like that.
Oh, they like tone it down, but it is fucking brutal.
Yeah,
it's like very serious emotionally. There are some like funny characters, but even like the Joker is like.
It's also 10 years later.
I don't know. Yeah. I know. I'm just saying, like the difference, and maybe that's just how 80s it was done. But I'm saying, like, that's a show that was in a kid's block of time and other stuff. But like, I go back and watch it now, and I still like it. Like, but that's because it is. You're not like Scooby Doo sounding hijinks.
Well, I'm not going and watching droids, and when what's his name talks that drug lord or whatever talks in a silly voice, and he's like, "I'm gonna get you." I'm not like, "Ew, why is this in this show?"
Yeah,
you know, if you can go and you can watch it in the same way that we were, you know, adjusting our expectations to the newspaper strips and being like, "Ah, like in the context of newspaper strips, this is some good storytelling." It's just, I think the average person, I just think the average person doesn't.
That is my point too. Like, I totally get why this wouldn't hit with.
Why would you ever turn this on just to study it?
And like,
yeah,
there was maybe it's also a cartoon, so you can do more kind of like hijinks in there. Whereas like Endor had some like lighthearted moments, but they're like not like these like cartoon lighthearted moments in the same way. So, but God, the ship, like the kid in me that just loves good Star Wars ship design.
There's a lot of cool ships in this show.
Like, yeah, I don't know. It was like. And I love the stakes are like that sweet spot simple. Of not going
simple
crazy every
genuinely
time.
Genuinely motivating, makes logical sense. I don't need to learn a new cultural thing about an alien to understand why I'm supposed to feel
that
a certain
was my
way.
When we sat down to watch the very first episode is called The White Witch, and my first thought was, oh god damn, we're gonna have like a witch.
Yeah,
and no, that's the name of a speeder, and I was like. Yeah. That's it. Love this. Let's go. I'm in.
Yeah, I love that.
Easy. That's such an easy sell for me. I was like, oh, it's just the name of a car. Great. Yeah, cool.
That's all right. To me tight. But again, we'll get there in a minute. Actually, I don't want to start that conversation yet. I was going to say something about current Star Wars again, but I want to say a few things about this show before we get into the episodes real quick, because really there's not a lot of substance to the episodes. Droids was originally set 19 years before. I'm sorry. It was originally set a little bit further back in time than...
So if this was canonically accurate to what we have now, it would have been 3PO watches Padme die R2 is like, oh no, let's get out of here, 3PO. And then en route to hang out with the Organas,
they
ended up going on wacky adventures.
It's a 19-year window, right? Between
Sure. I'm just saying, like, at
now?
The end.
But was there even a...
No. I'm saying between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope is 19 years. They originally were setting this show a lot closer to where Revenge of the Sith was, but of course they didn't know that Revenge of the Sith
existed.
Right.
But I'm saying, like, canonically, what it would mean is that at the end, when Bail Organa's like, come on, you guys, let's go. Mid-flight, they get jettisoned and are like, oh no, onto, and they're in a thing, and then they get caught up in Ventress.
But you know what's funny is, in Revenge of the Sith, there is an error because Ramus Antilles, who gets the droids at the end, he says...
There's a lot of errors in there.
C-3PO says in A New Hope that that was our last master.
Right.
Right? So that means that in between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, that theoretically he wouldn't have a master. In the ultimate Star Wars visual guide, they retconned it to say that they were accidentally separated from Captain Antilles for a while and were in space, had all these adventures, and then linked up with him again before A New Hope. And Korla Matone. Sure. Do you know who that is?
No. Korla Matone?
Yeah.
Another gambling heiress who runs a Canto Bike Casino.
This character right here, she is from Revenge of the Sith.
No idea.
Korla Matone is like Quentin Tarantino's dream lady.
She was on the
Sounds like Curl Matos or something. I don't know.
She was on
Korla Matone.
Yeah.
She was on the Tantive.
Was she like in the movie?
She's in Revenge of the Sith, I believe.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, she's in Revenge of the Sith, but sure. I mean, that movie has a big like montage at the end, right? She had something to do with it in some like piece of lore that was written for something later. She had something to do with why R2-D2 and C-3PO got separated.
She thought it was the refresher. She went to go flush the toilet. It was actually an escape pod.
So apparently
they got
raided by Locke Revenants, the pirates from Nim.
Yeah, okay.
And
the pirates from Nim.
They
have a secret.
Yeah. That's
what the secret of Nim is about? Huh.
Basically, they were already in an escape pod during a routine test, and then they had to jettison it. And that's why we see them where they are at the beginning of the show.
All right. I mean, sure.
Also,
boy, them in escape pods.
Those two. Yeah, they keep.
I would avoid them, to be honest.
They keep looking for him.
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, shows a Toong and mentions Tund, which is where they're from. Those are both from Lando.
Wait. In what episode?
The Toong and the Tund. We'll see them sometime during this season. A Race to the Finish. The droids end up at the Boonta Race, which is the same as the Boonta Eve classic from Phantom Menace, sort of. It's the Eve of Boonta, maybe?
Yeah. That's what I thought, is it's like Christmas Eve.
They also go to Bogdan.
Bogdan is like, isn't that one of the...
Utah, I believe.
Well, that's Ogden.
No, yeah. Right.
Isn't that the toad creatures we fought in Jedi Survivor or whatever?
No, those are the Bogdan or something like that.
Oh my God, these words are all the same.
But the Bogdan...
Totally different.
Bogdan planet, Jango Fett says in Attack of the Clones that he was recruited by a man called Tyrannus on one of the moons of Bogdan. And then
flawless impression,
perfect. And then
dead.
The
Bogdan dead.
You know Jan Tosh, the wheel bike that he gets eventually. He's Nubian, by the way. Jan Tosh. His bike is retconned to become related to Grievous's chopper that he eventually has. Like similar.
Why?
Similar. I mean, it's continuity. I'm just saying.
They're like, well, it's a wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that he had the wheel.
So it's funny because those things.
Yeah.
So by the sort of.
Right.
You remember the car, right?
From the show?
Yeah.
Because I was like, I have that. It's pretty similar. Very similar to that in World of Warcraft.
And it's probably true.
From Nomergon.
It's probably true
from
that in real life.
Mechagon.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
God, so much of my life was wasted.
What a fool I am.
Just saying.
But I look fucking. Tight in it.
So many people probably saw that car and then in real life probably made Grievous's vehicle almost just as a visual reference, but then, you know,
also,
you connect
not,
it.
Wasn't there a time where the one-wheel motorcycles was like a fad, like those over-the-head Oakleys, like...
Where the motorcycle wheel goes all the way around you?
Am I crazy? Didn't that somebody at some point real make thing. That thing?
I'm sure that one or two exist, but I can't imagine that that was like a working piece of technology that was mass produced. That seems crazy to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but I, you know, the point is, those are all things that were from here that were then translated into quote unquote real Star Wars, which is still canon.
Yeah.
It was a thing.
Okay. I'm not crazy. They look sick, dude. Like,
they exist. They're just dumb.
I feel like you would die.
Look at this giant. I mean, like, yeah.
How tight is that, dude?
They also...
They're called mono wheels.
Wow.
Ben Burtt also
they
wrote
really,
a song.
Like, reached for that one.
Ben Burtt wrote the lyrics to a song for the Shadows of the Empire soundtrack, which is coming up. Which has references Rune, which is a planet from the series. Also, Admiral Screed, who is from the show, is in HoloNet News and in Star Wars Rebellion.
Where are you just reading like things that were taken from what we've seen so far? And
yes. Yes.
They really do like, I want to just talk to like one person that's worked there and be like, what's up? Are you guys like, is it just like fun little playful hints or do you... Is there more to it than that?
I genuinely think they, even when you were talking about the one character from Revenge of the Sith, they love taking like the glup shittos and making them important.
Or at least, you know, in some ways I feel like.
Or making callbacks to like, yes, that was this ship.
Somewhere
and
along
now it's important.
Somewhere along the line, it went from being like a dog whistle for people who care to like being the real plan of like making everything one. And kind of like making everything matter to a larger lore, which I think is kind of
they're
gross.
It's so broad though. Like when they put it in, I can't believe there's a person that like remembers all this old stuff that well and
yeah.
like knows it all. So that's why I'm like,
yes, wow. But I think the act of looking it up and figuring it out is what the fans do. Like when.
Like they're planting it as fun little.
Like when Grant Morrison writes a giant Batman story that uses all of Batman's history
Zarinar and like
as if it happened to one guy, right? That was his big like sort of like thing going into the Batman run was
it
like,
all happened?
It yeah, like everything happened and it happened in like 10 years to one guy, which would fuck him up, right? And so like so, you know, they put all these little secrets weaved into the stories and details that in the context of the story, you don't need to know them in order to like appreciate what's happening. It's not like homework that you didn't, that's going to become vital, but all the little references and things, if you then go back and read more Batman, will then reverberate through the world of Batman. I don't actually think it's wrong to connect things to the larger tapestry. I just think that making that the point
exactly
is absolutely a misunderstanding of why that is satisfying. You know what I mean? You know when you see a meme and then you see the thing from the meme in real life in outside of the context of the meme and it's like, haha, yeah, I understand that. That's all it's supposed to be. That's all it's supposed to be.
Okay.
That's all it is. But the other shit is like some weird, now lawyers are getting involved and they're like, well, technically, if you're going to make it part of our story, it's got to be this. And I'd be interested to know how much lawyers have to do with the larger MCU tapestry plan thing.
Yikes.
I'm interested to know. Let's talk about each individual episode. We only did six of them today. The first arc, and we can do it as an arc even, but basically...
There's not that much to...
The arc is called The Trigon One. This one was three episodes. You find out C-3PO and R2-D2 land on Ingo. They're talking about that they had a shitty master and that they are glad to be gone. They crash and they meet Jord, Dusat, and Thal Jobin.
Thal Jobin is the
great
worst.
Great names, and they are speeder bike racers. And then they go into a restricted zone by accident, and this other girl, Kaya Maul, sees them and protects them from these like weird like tower droids that seem to be just like pure evil. And so Kaya Maul is there, and she... I forget exactly what order it happens in, but they find out that this guy who's running these robots is called Tig Fromm. Tiggy. He hates being called Tiggy. He's the son.
Tiggy.
He's the son of like
he,
a
he
much.
He has like a Team America like track jacket.
Yes,
look.
He's a
like,
much. He's a. He's like the son of a much more scary warlord.
To the point where everyone recognizes how scary the dad is.
They're all clowning on Tiggy all the time.
And poor
he's,
Tiggy.
He's just a shit eater, basically.
He also like tried to kill his dad a bunch too.
He just wants to be evil and outdo everyone. And whenever he gets caught, he just like retreats to the privilege of being his dad's son. And his dad is like, "I fucking hate you. I wish you were dead."
There's also a weird body thing going on, where Tiggy is the most human looking out of all, like this species has like massive heads, like big bodied boys. And then Tiggy just looks like a human. But
when they get angry, their
skin changes.
Their skin changes and their color changes. So I don't know what that.
Maybe Tiggy is like, "I married this human lady."
It reminded me of it's also like what they did in Solo, where he gets like, what's his face? Who's the villain in Solo?
Paul Bettany.
Oh, he has those lines.
Like, yeah, like the dad got like red veins or whatever when he got like, really angry.
All I'm gonna
at all.
All I can remember from Solo
rhymes.
is
they don't even have in the original soundtrack version because they're fucking cowards.
I can't understand why they would do
because people don't get that what is actually tight and what's not.
I'm like,
well, let's make it sound
song,
like more palatable.
Like, I heard the song in the movie. I want to check it out on the soundtrack, and it's not there,
guys. This is not going to top Spotify charts.
He just took off
you don't
his
need
glasses,
to like
you guys.
Put a different.
He means it.
Singer, just
the glasses came
sick.
Off.
Okay, so they go into the zone. Thal, Jobin, and the droids team up with Kia, Mole.
Shout out to Kia's mom.
Well, we'll get her to her in a second.
What a baddie!
They rescue Jordan from the base. They blow up a bunch of the droids. That's the end of the episode. In the next episode, C-3PO lets the hyperdrive of Kea's starship float away into space. And so because he fucks up in that way, they all stay with Kea and Dema, who's
Kea's. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you think, again, taking from this type of stuff, in episode one, when R2 and all the droids are on top of Padme's ship, it's basically this scene.
Where they're like trying to go fix it?
Yeah, same
exactly.
thing.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
until this point, it's just R2 in the back of a cockpit going.
Yeah.
Boop, boop,
we were
boop.
Talking about like, does he have? They established that he has magnetic anything before?
He just sits.
I don't
in the
think
little,
so.
He just sat in the little hole before.
Yeah,
yeah. In all the movies, even in like the ride, he's like in a little hole.
that's true. Yeah.
But they end up having to stay with Kea's mother, Dema, on Anu, so they can get a new hyperdrive. And when they're there, they realize that Kea and Dema are rebels, like from the actual Rebel Alliance. And Jord stays with the mom, and they want to get...
Poor Jord.
So, in addition...
Unless Jord was hooking up with the mom, in which case...
You're
my
into
man.
It. Basically, they decide that in addition to getting a new hyperdrive, they're going to steal the Trigon 1, which is this like crazy weapon satellite that the gangsters
Dude,
have made.
This thing looks sick. Like,
cool looking.
What's great is, one, it's a super weapon that is so...
It's like Death Star.
So appropriately scale. It's just a big gun. And I guess for like a small outfit, having a big gun is nice.
It's
but
the
like,
same plan as the Death Star. It's just for like 10 planets instead of the galaxy.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. You have like a sick weapon that will give you that your small little pocket of the galaxy control over.
But because it's small enough, they're able to steal it. And so they steal it. And that's what.
What I like about this is other Star Wars, they go bigger than the Death Star. They're like, right. No, crazier. And you're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this makes sense. This is appropriately sized.
And now that they've got this ship, big. Daddy gangster is pissed. The Fromm, Mr. Fromm.
And it has like, to me, Battleship Yamato energy of like that kind of industrial design, which is always cool too.
There's a, it feels like, what's his name? Toriyama. The, you know, the Capsule Corp look.
It genuinely,
actually, there's a lot of that.
Like Sandland.
The looks in this are so good.
It looks like they just took a Discman and turned it on its side.
Yeah. To be the satellite.
Trigon, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's like, that makes
with
sense
a gun.
With how they
put
were
a
like,
gun on it. Yeah.
UFO, put the front things on it, put us a cockpit, and you're like, oh my God, that is the Millennium Falcon. They're like, yep, gun.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? This is the coolest ship I've ever seen. Oh my God.
The Doctor Who is the even weirder one. They're like, it's a phone booth. They're like,
we love this. We would rather die than it'd be different.
All right. You call the cops on it.
Yes. The
this make sense to us? It's a glitch. We get it. That's why it looks like that. All everyone knows.
Anyway, it's bad design. It's good design. It's great design.
It's
bad design.
Design
as good design. Third episode is called The Trigon Unleashed. This is where they raid the speeder shop on Ingo, where all the homies hang out. Thalki and the droids get captured. Tig tells them that he captured Jordan Dema, and he's not going to let them go unless you give me back my Trigon 1. And then Thal does so, but then they all get imprisoned, and then they trick the guard, and they drive the fucking thing away to the base. Tig takes it to his dad's base, and then he thinks he's succeeded. He thinks he's bringing it back to his dad for, like, glory, and he's going to finally make good with his dad. But actually, they've already sabotaged it, and he just crashes the thing into his dad's base.
His
dad's
base is so...
That, like, towering fortress is
like
cool.
It's like a towering fortress in what, like, Roadrunner-ass Utah or whatever that, like, Red Rock, whatever that place is. Like, just a sick Bond villain, like, modern place. So tight, the ship so tight.
All these Star Wars names. All these Star Wars names are great.
And he gets to go, Tiggy!
Thal Jobin. I forgot his name is Size Fromm, which is an awesome name. Thal Jobin, Jord Dusat, Kea Mole.
These are all great awesome Star Wars names. Yeah.
Thal Jobin just does not sound right. There's something about it.
It's because it says Jobin in there. And Jobin is from I Love You, Man.
That's the kind of thing where, like, what's his face? Who did episode 7 and 9?
J.J. Abrams.
He would like, un-Kaibo that.
Yeah, he would be like Jobin,
more
like
Thal Jorin.
Yeah, yeah, there.
Boom,
Thal Jorin rocks. Yeah,
that sounds
honestly,
more like an MMO character.
It's the buzz that sound like weird sometimes
In Star Wars. Yes,
then also
put it at the front. Ben Solo,
Ben Kenobi,
Ben Kenobi,
Ken Benobi, Ken Bonobo, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Monkey Man Bonobo.
Hey, that guy fixes helmets so good.
Monkey Wan Bonobo? He's the best. He's the best.
You take your helmet to that guy.
He looks like a stinker, but he actually is, like, really sweet.
Monkey Wan Bonobo parts his hair in the center, kisses on the mouth, and he's the best.
You give him a Ronto wrap, changes the game.
He'll suck your dick. It will. He'll rip your face off or he'll suck your dick. It's a 50-50.
He's always masturbating.
Pissing and shitting, throwing his fucking shit against the walls.
But man, can he drop the helmet?
God. He drops all that shit when he gets that welder right in his hands, that soldering iron. He just...
Genius and madness often go hand in hand.
He built...
And Obu Bobo Kenobo, what did you call him?
Obu Bobo.
I called him Monkey Mon Bonobi.
Obu Bobo Ross.
Kenobo.
Hobo Bobo is like... Fallen Bobo. Holy shit. Anyway, they get kidnapped. They all escape. They get a ship to escape, and everybody lives. Then it's time for the Boonta race, because this whole time these guys have been speeder racers that they hooked up with, and they're, like, working in a machine shop like the Racer family.
Dude. And so,
the White Witch actually looks like the Mach 5. It has, like, the same paint.
This is the funniest bit, because, like, he gets out and, like, doesn't come to help them. He just goes to the fucking race.
I forgot. Yes, they're in trouble, and he's like, I gotta go. And he just drives to the race.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I also don't know
Okay.
I also noticed.
Oh, bye.
I noticed this earlier, and I didn't point it out because I thought it was impossible, but Wikipedia seems to agree with me. This next episode, the final episode in the arc, Race to the Finish, is co-written by Stephen Wright.
It's said on the episode, right?
Yeah, but I didn't think it was going to be really Stephen Wright. But if you click on the link, it is literally like the guy who talks like this, like Stephen Wright, like this guy, right? You know this guy?
That's wild.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the guy who
the
wrote
comedian.
Yeah. Yes, the guy from
that's
the couch.
That's so weird.
In fucking Half Baked, isn't that so weird?
Everybody does everything at this time.
Yeah. Anyway. They're off to Boonta to take part in the Boonta race, but the Fromm gang is still on their, like, ass, so they get shot down. They have to crash land. So Size Fromm now is tired of fucking around. He's pissed because his base has been destroyed. He wants to kill these people, so he calls in the big guns and calls Boba Fett to help him, even though he now has a bounty on his own head from Jabba the Hutt. So he knows that Boba Fett gets bounties. And even though he knows that his bounty is worth something. He hires Boba Fett nonetheless.
This is smart. I don't know, because he's like, I'll just pay you more.
Yeah.
Which is what you're supposed to do if you're rich enough.
Yeah. Just the dumb thing is that if you're a bounty hunter, you're like, I'm going to collect your bounty, and then I'm going to collect your bounty.
Right. So the big like trick of this is that he puts a thermal detonator on the White Witch, and Boba Fett then chases Thal Jobin.
Which, by the way, it's the plot of Speed.
It's literally the plot of Speed Racer also.
You're right.
It's the plot of a lot of things.
You are this is the whole lawyer thing you were talking about earlier. If you put the word Speed in your title,
yeah,
you have to do this.
Yeah. Except this one is, it's not about how fast you're going. It's after a certain number of laps.
It just blows.
Which is crazy because, like, okay. Well, sure, man.
You know how galactic racing is. And yeah,
I'm aware.
Going back to that new galactic racing game that was just announced, by the way.
I feel like this is going to be a part of it.
This has a lot, it's not pod racing.
No.
It's speeder racing. Yeah. Well, pod racers are speeders, but this is like,
they're not speeders because don't they use Starship engines?
They use all kinds
pod
of
racers?
They use all kinds of engines.
Oh, I thought they were always like,
they're hot rods, basically.
Okay. I thought they were like upcycled Starship.
They're kind of like chariots and they're kind of like hot rods.
Oh my fucking god! They are chariots.
It's Ben-Hur. Yeah. Hello. Remember when Ben-Hur goes?
No one can see this, but it actually affected Davis.
Remember when they show Ben-Hur?
I never hit him, dude. What the?
Remember when they show that guy from Ben-Hur?
Thought that they're chariots, and they are dead ass chariots. Dude.
And they're doing the whole like clash together. They're doing the chariot race thing. Yeah. It's from
movies. Guys, I am not the smartest.
It's just Lucas loving old movies.
But I'm also not the most handsome.
Yeah. Remember when they show Ben-Hur's family and then Ben-Hur crashes into a rock and goes, meh. And you're like,
no, that was the other guy, Ben-Hur, crashed into the rock.
And then Mr. Incredible, he's like super sad about it. Yeah.
Devastated. I like have not watched that movie or those kind of things in a long time, but I guess those were like the big blockbuster scenes that inspired the way that Star Wars has inspired everything else. So everyone's doing Star Wars. That's a throwback to...
Welcome to it. It rhymes, dude.
Yeah.
You got bodied. Star Wars Episode 1 is the best movie ever made.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I'll say that it is a movie ever made.
Yeah. It's one of the movies that's out there to watch.
Honestly, upon further review of the prequels, I still think it's the best one.
I think I agree with you. I wish that... The idea of Attack of the Clones is the best prequel movie.
It's just not executed.
But it's just not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so sick.
Obi-Wan, basically. Noir? Come on.
We basically got the reverse of that in the people doing the thing.
Yeah.
I thought that's what Obi-Wan was going to be, and I was so devastated by what I didn't hate Obi-Wan. I just was disappointed that it just became a very Disney-ass show in a way that I was not ready for.
All right, Dad.
I thought it was going to be
I agree with you.
I thought it was going to be a make good on the premise of him as a grizzled sort of fallen
from the OG comics. There is a heritage of Obi-Wan getting his own adventure and them all being pretty rad.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are still in terms of the shows,
even in the new comics. But I'm saying that was not. They immediately tied him into both.
It's still probably one of the better. It's probably still one of the better shows.
Sure,
isn't that weird? Of all the shows, all the Star Wars TV shows,
there just could have been a version where it was him on Tatooine doing Tatooine stuff.
He should have done Chinatown. He should have done Chinatown on Tatooine.
Yes,
with
Jabba
the Hutt.
There's something with the water supply.
Yeah, he should have went all the way to the top.
They could have done a Chinatown thing because if they're going to
forget
spook
it,
stuff,
Obi.
And then he goes. You know what? Fuck this.
It's
Mos
Eisley.
I'm just going to go live by myself. Fuck this.
It's Mos Espa.
33. What was the place?
33.
They were going to do that game about.
Oh,
what, it's Section 33.
Sector 33.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Section 33 of Coruscant. Forget it, Jake B. Ewan Kenobi.
Forget it, Bobo. Bobo.
Forget it, Dad. It's Boska. All right. Okay. So they use the thermal detonator, they get it onto Boba Fett's ship, and they blow his ass up, and then
hand me a death stick.
He is pissed, so he just arrests Saiz Fromm instead.
Yeah, anyway, he's like, I'll take you in for the bounty,
which
since
is
I lost my
hilarious
shit.
And exactly what should happen.
They got, this version of Boba Fett got to maintain badassness.
Yeah, and then, Royalton Motors from from Speed Racer, that British guy who loves the pancakes, who then pitches speed on like a career as like a house racer. So they get that happening to them in this show. Like a racing corp comes up to Thal and is like, "You guys are hot. I want to make a bunch of money with you guys." And then they're like, "Okay, what's the catch?" And they're like, "We have to reprogram your droids." And
basically, like, we hate droids.
Basically, the plot.
I thought it was was it Company Secrets or whatever?
Yeah.
It's The Rise of Skywalker. Is literally,
it's like Brink, the Disney Channel original movie, if they had gone with that company instead of being Soul Skaters.
Yeah, Speed Racer, exactly the same thing. And in that, it's racing.
They're sellouts.
Yeah. So
they're janky fakies.
So they decide to. They're like, "Well, we're not going to do it."
Yeah, they're like, "We can't leave our best friends behind. Why would we
and
do
then,
that?"
And then they're
damn
like,
"Damn it, you're right. They are like kind of soul speeders."
But then they're like, "But then they're the G's because C-3PO and R2-D2 are like, no, go ahead, take it. We'll head out."
Oh, they don't even tell them. They're like, "Let's just leave."
Yeah.
So they have no excuses. And then they just jettison themselves again.
They leave so that their friends can live their dreams.
They're real ones.
They like Harry.
R2-D2.
Yeah.
And the Hendersons themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then we did the first half of the next.
It is wild though. The level of C-3PO gaslighting R2-D2 in this show is it's never been higher.
I get the sense that R2-D2 is also giving C-3PO the business harder than he ever does in the movies.
C-3PO does talk shit to, or R2 does talk shit back to him, but like he really, really feels like in this especially, they have a beautiful relationship, and we do
see 100% a couple.
We do
100%.
See more of C-3PO's like genuine love, but it's not like sexual because they're droids. But it's right. Like they like are a pair. They're like a couple.
They're a couple,
and like
they tell each
in
other
in all forms. That gets to play out, like in him shitting on him, and then him being like, R2, oh
yeah, they're ride or die for each other. That honestly. I don't know if droids love, but it's the closest thing
they
can
tell
have.
Each other. They love each other.
Each
other. Yeah. Okay. And then the next arc is called, the last one was called the Trigon One. This one is called Mon Jopa. And this one, the first episode is The Lost Prince. This is from Peter Sauter, who was one of the guy that did all the like Care Bears and shit that we were talking about in the watch along.
Noticeable. Honestly.
Yeah.
Completely different
more,
vibe.
A little bit
and
more
Ewoks,
anemic.
Right? Didn't you say he's like involved in the Ewok show?
I don't think so. I can check. Let me see.
Honestly, when you're explaining stuff to me, I forgot to put them in different buckets.
They're kind of
all
not.
The information I took, and I thought it was for both.
Strawberry Shortcake, Babar, Care Bears, droids, and he wrote the first episode of Franklin. He also head writer for Inspector Gadget. Roly
Poly. Which we realized this guy was like, sentinel to our childhood.
Worked on the Edison Twins. Worked story editor for Roly Poly Oly. Story editor for Donkey Kong Country, Doodle Bops, like. Dude has a crazy.
So he was doing it well into like almost the early 2000s.
Yeah, dude was still going.
Wow.
And I feel like the storytelling is a little bit more anemic and non-Star Warsy in this arc so far.
Absolutely.
They have their new master Jan Tosh, and they find this droid that is like they.
And Jan Tosh is a character that comes back, right? You were saying that earlier as a reference to somebody in
Jan Tosh is like in this whole arc.
Oh, I thought you said it when you were listing out the different references.
In the references, there's like some Jan Tosh is like homeworld or something.
Tosh is like too good of a word not to be a Star Wars word.
Yeah. Or like a host of like
Tosh
a
Station,
really
dude.
Long running internet comedy show. So they
make, I was named after the droids.
They make friends with this like alien that they think is a droid for a long time, and then it turns out the droid is an alien. And they're captured by Kleb Zelok, who is another like great crime lord name. They go to the Nurgon mines where they mine Nurgon 14, which is the active ingredient that explodes in proton torpedoes in the Star Wars universe. According to this,
this whole setup is like
he's mining.
We've
it's
seen
a mining
like 10. We're gonna see 1,000. Like the whole look of this place, where it's like a mining town with like a diner and everything, is like. That's a classic.
The diner
Star Wars.
Is
the diner
expanded
is
universe.
Awesome. It's better than Dex's diner.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. It has
it's
a forearm.
The only problem with that diner is that they're these fucking clumsy droids that keep ruining orders.
It's a diner with a forearmed chef that talks to the people as they come in.
It's
dead ass.
It all
ass.
Rhymes.
It's dead ass Dex's diner. They meet Salag. They identify the alien droid guy as Mon Jopa, and he turns out to be the prince of the Tamuzan.
Who, again, every... So I just want to go look up Jan, but also this guy. The difference in the way people look compared to the first arc is very 80s.
Everybody's like hot. Yeah, everybody's like an action figure.
The guy who's inside the droid, when they finally reveal, like, the way he looks, he has like a He-Man look to him.
Yes.
He looks like he's in Eternia rather than on a Star Wars planet.
Definitely.
It's a different vibe.
Definitely. Are we all excited about the He-Man movie?
Actually, I watched the trailer and I was like, this looks like legit.
I liked the old one too.
Here's my one problem.
It's so Thor 1.
My one problem with it though is Jared Leto plays Skeletor. There's no way he's going, meow. It's not happening. He will never allow himself to do that.
He's going to try and be fuckable.
Wait, yeah. Jared Leto is in this?
Yes.
But he's Skeletor.
Playing Skeletor.
Which, okay, as long as we don't see him.
Honestly, when he plays a totally unlikable shithead, that's when he works.
Him in Blade Runner is like
perfect application.
Yeah, because I hate you and you're just playing yourself.
I just know he's not going to go, meow. It's not happening.
It's Marvin time, He-Man.
It's not happening.
I could see it. If he does it,
I'll be like,
I think it's going to happen.
I'll stand up. I'll give him an ovation.
Dude, what was the whole thing? Okay. So they defeat Kleb Zelek. They escape the mines, and then the whole mines blow up. And then in the next episode, which is like halfway through the story arc, the droids, Jan, Mon Jilpa,
they return home.
Solag, they all get, and Jessica Mead.
Right. Who is
the second black character ever in Star Wars?
Don't they call her like old iron legs or something?
Yeah,
like,
yes. Yes.
Dude, they do the same thing. It's kind of cool, like, for a kid's show to tease a character.
Yes.
And then they're not part of that episode and then they become part of it later.
So that's what happens with Kaibo in this one. Yeah. He shows up.
It is a way that, like, in a baby way, is like, hey, that feels like kind of cool.
Yeah.
So this episode is about this planet, Tamuzan, which is where Mon Jilpa's from. And the idea is, on this planet, you become the ruler if you're in the right place at the right time with a scepter and do the right thing. Anybody who has it can do it.
I feel like that's just beautiful, like, satire.
It's great for a cartoon also. Like, it's just
right place, right time, right thing.
Amazing sort of like
with the scepter.
Yeah.
Like,
so he's like the vizier, this guy Kozatek Cha, who like has the thing and wants to
just
become
Jafar.
Yeah, he wants to become the new guy.
Looks just like him.
And Mon Jilpa needs the help to like get it done, and he hires fucking IG-88 to get Mon Jilpa, get the scepter. But they are able to get in and they get it, and there's like this race to the altar, and they right at the last second the right guy gets the thing, yada yada yada.
That scene is actually very, like Davis was saying, slapstick, kind of like Scooby-Doo-esque.
Yeah. And for one hot second they get buzzed by these like pirates for a sec, and in that moment you see for a second somebody who I believe will end up being Kaibo Ren in the next episode.
It is.
If you are a patron,
it is worth it. We had audio things on there and it was like Kaibo scoffs and I just didn't clock. I didn't like really understand.
You didn't know that his name was Kaibo Ren. So
I was
why
just
would
like,
you?
Huh? Yeah. And then later it was like,
it's obvious that he played Shining Force and so he had Xylo on his team and he had Kaibo Ren on droids.
I will say, canonically, according to the internet, his name is Gur Kaibo Ren, but that seems like a retcon they added later because Kaibo Ren's a little
too
close.
Let me tell you about Gur Kaibo Ren not being mentioned one time in any sort of episode description on fucking
Disney
Plus.
Exactly.
And if you are watching this on Patreon, I guarantee you that it is worth it just to sign up and listen to the watch
along. That last bit.
Just to hear Davis see Kaibo. Because Jesse kind of saw it a little early.
Yes, I was a little spoiled.
You had me read it and I did my best to read it one word at a time. And then when the word, like, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And also like, what the fuck is the old, like, canon stuff? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. If you go listen to our Patreon right now, there is more of us talking about this for like another, like us watching the show in real time. We'll watch the Tony Danza thing. So you can get some more droids. There's also a million more episodes of
Tony Danza.
There's a bajillion.
Mary Lou Retton.
Like all of our Inside the Insiders, they're supposed to be 15 minutes.
What a snapshot.
They're supposed to be 15 minutes. I feel like most of them are like 40 minutes to an hour Inside the Insider.
Like, not to upsell it, but it's like we do, our Insiders are regular podcast episode lengths for more people, and then these are like much longer.
Yeah, so if you're like, I think we've done like three sets, you know, of public Inside the Insider episodes, which makes nine, but like There's like 18 total. Like, there's twice as much. And every time we put out an episode of this, you get another episode of Inside the Insider. So go check it out. Go listen. Next time on the show, we're going to be back with part two of this. And then we've got, I think, like one more comic, and then Ewoks, and then Ewoks, and then a comic of droids and Ewoks. And then when you're free of all of those things, you
will. So you're saying in this year of our Lord, 2026, of our Dark Lord of Sith, 2026, we'll hit Thrawn?
We're hitting Thrawn sooner rather than later.
Ooh. The tonal about face is going, it's going to be, we're going to get whiplash. It's going to be insane now, granted, how it's like Care Bears, yay, and then like, now it's time to fuck.
Yeah. Granted, Resident Evil Requiem comes out very soon.
Oh.
And a couple other things that in our lives that are not,
we would love to play,
that are not Star Wars related are occurring as well. So there may be a little bit of other things that we get up to in the meantime. But
if you like the three of us doing stuff,
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I've already started the season two branding. Like we're there. We're a few episodes away. We've done 39 pieces of media or something like that at this point. We've done 39 things. And there's like two more or three more left before we do Heir to the Empire. So take with that what you will. It's coming very soon.
Man, I can't wait to get back to like the chunky. Oh, Davis, you're going to, knowing how you read, you're just going to be like flipping pages and in a fantasy world and living your life.
I love this era of Star
like
Wars.
My smoothie.
I love this era of Star Wars because I feel like it's like the Dan Brown era where it's like, have you ever read a Dan Brown book?
Brown.
Yeah, me too.
Love Dan Brown.
Da Vinci Code, yeah. Love his books. He's not a great writer.
Chapters are like a page.
That's it. That's
not
exactly
a fan
it.
Of his politics.
I don't know anything about them.
Me either, so I can't be a fan of it.
Thanks,
guys. Bye.
He's out. He's gone. Davis is off the show. We've removed him.
That's the last thing he said ever.
That was the worst show he's ever said, so he's out. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So, yeah. Is that it?
That's it.
Is that what we need?
Let me just do a quick mental pat down of the things we did there. We talked about everything.
Yeah?
More? That was your mental pat down? All right, hold on. No, we talked about everything.
The things I'm like, let's see. Ship designs, 3PO's ass, the sound being good except for the Scooby-Doo, all the different characters, the villains.
Would you say this is the hellish gauntlet of shitty things that you thought it was going to be before we had to get to Heir to the Empire? Because I think no.
No. It's really, really interesting. I think like the first Ewoks one is bad. The only thing that is hard is that we are like close to some
great stuff.
Really, really sick shit. Yeah. So I'm glad again. If I just went off myself, I'd be like, sorry, droids. Sorry, Ewoks.
Yeah.
But I like that I have to do this.
That I think is the big key is everything that we've done. I can't say it sucked, but it's because I've done it with you two and not had to sit there by myself and suffer through some stuff.
And I don't think
we read it alone, but
I don't think we're giving it enough credit that
it's
like
so interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's like that's what I'm saying. Like, no one has this context. There are definitely a few people probably who've listened to this show who have done everything that we've done. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that there's a few weirdos out there that are like really bravely going along with us in this weird journey. But unless you have, you do not have this context.
Sure.
We have a very unique context on the Star Wars universe because the average person does not simply purchase and consume every single piece of media in chronological order.
Every time I tell anyone that's what we're doing, they always are shocked.
They think it's cool. But their eyes glaze over when I tell them why context is important and when reading things and that it's really fun to know what you're talking about so you don't get mad. But I think...
Yeah, cut that out.
Yeah, I think...
You want to know who else is going through a similar... Actually, finish your point before I sidetrack us.
Well, that's it. I'm just saying, like, the idea of having this context is why we are experts right now. Like, it's fun to be friends and just go through this experience together. But also, like, we have a sort of interesting perspective.
When we come out the other side of this with everything done, we will be like those dudes who know...
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've almost completely like Judge Holden from Blood Meridian.
I hope not.
We have almost completely absorbed and destroyed the,
I hope we don't become whole, and that's not good.
The heir to the Empire era is almost ours.
Sure, okay.
We have almost got our smell and stink all over it. And made it real only to ourselves.
Yeah.
I love you guys. We'll be back for part two tomorrow, or next time. Tomorrow in the larger sense.
Right, sure.
And we'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
The Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions from our listeners at patreon.com/SWOCBC. Thank you for your support. This month's Patreon Masters of the Force are Ian Berenade, Trevor Isom, Patrick Rowland, Jazz Owl, Peacetime Mando, and Metroid Mike. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with a discussion about our next selection, Star Wars, the original Marvel Years Volume 6, an epic collection from Marvel Comics. This episode was edited by Alex Del Campo and Alex Fasciani. The theme song is Venus, the Bringer of Peace by Gustav Holst, performed by the U.S. Air Force Heritage of America Band. Original show art by Jackie Whistler. See you next time.